Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now. That's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Again.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man. Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin.
I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? You just blast it down.
I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap. He just fell into a backup plan.
So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his ladder, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms.
Money,
military, college.
All right. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33, and today is Tuesday, March the 7th of 2017, and the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today, and as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you. I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, want to switch gears just a little bit. You know, we did the show yesterday talking about part one of getting people to understand the true effects of coping mechanisms or effective coping mechanisms. But I'm going to save that show for my Claironomics class, and we'll be discussing that tonight at 7. So again, if you're not a part of the Claironomics, you can actually listen to it instead of charging you the regular price. But again, we'll just charge you $25. We'll make it $20 if someone that's not a part of my Claironomics blueprint, our Temple Builders Blueprint for Success program. So we will continue that show tonight. But today, my brothers and sisters, we've got a very important topic because today we're talking about narcissism or narcissists. Now, it's going to be a tough message today because I, as a retired narcissist who still struggles with this, because the thing that makes me a great teacher, a master teacher, also makes me a great narcissist and also psychopath and sociopath. So I've struggled in all of these areas. And it's interesting because I've been clinically diagnosed with most of this stuff that I talk about. And so I'm not sharing stuff that I read of a book. I'm sharing my real life. Not proud of it. But I'm hoping that something that I share today with you will benefit you and your family. My brothers and my sisters, this is a very dangerous topic because what makes everybody great, whatever degree that the pendulum swings to the left, the pendulum has the potential to swing to the right. Whatever makes someone a great CEO also makes them a great sociopath, psychopath, or a narcissist, along with all of the other different psychological, mental dispositions. I don't know if I would go as far as call them illnesses. I would even call it a disorder. But I need you to understand what is going on in the mind of a narcissist, because if you don't, your life is going to suck. Today we want to talk about three things, my brothers. Today we want to talk about three things, my sisters. I need you to understand what is narcissistic abuse. I need you to really understand what is gaslighting. And I need you to really write down what is traumatic bonding, because the relationship that you're in is probably a trauma-based bond, and it's not a true emotional-based bond. And without over an understanding and without going into too much detail and revealing all my dark secrets, you need to wrap your brain around it. Because, again, we're talking about, just finished up the book, talking about effective coping mechanisms and how to deal with people like myself. But effective coping mechanism, as we're going to be talking about tonight in my private study with my private group, the reason that you need these coping mechanisms is because there are people in the world today that suffer from mental illness or mental disorder. Now, again, these are spiritual dispositions. So the first thing, let me make sure you understand what causes it. Because a lot of people think the reason I'm not on medication and not locked up, or as every psychologist that has ever spoken to me personally have said, that if you don't get on medication, you will be dead or in prison within a year. Now, I've been told that at least 10 different occasions by 10 different therapists because of my severe mental disposition. So why am I sitting here doing today's show? Well, let me make sure you understand how the devil, or how the cosmogrator, or how ruling dispositions are established at birth. See, narcissism is an egocentric curse as a result of the beating down of the self, low self-image, no self-image, no self-esteem, no self-worth, no self-value. If you were raised in an environment, this is a learned behavior. So anything that can be learned can be unlearned. That is why I'm not on medication. Now, I don't recommend that if you are a narcissist, psychopath, or any of the other mental dispositions, that you go the route that I have taken, because you're going to hurt a lot of people. Because a narcissist is an individual that is infatuated with themselves because they're overcompensating for the lack of true worth and value. See, a narcissist is somebody, a narcissistic abuse is someone who obsesses over their own achievements, and these achievements must be recognized or they will have an emotional meltdown. See, narcissism and narcissists, they must feel like they are superior to everyone. They believe that they are unique, and that what they are doing is special. They got a unique calling, like me. They don't have this empathy and sympathy. I think the only thing that saved me from really, really being dead or in prison was the fact that I'm a six. think we would be having this conversation right now. I don't think we would be friends. In fact, I'm putting all of my money on the fact that we would not be friends. See, this narcissistic personality disorder, as the clinical community would like to term it, it is a condition that is characterized by overcompensation of a lack of self-importance. It's the total opposite. It's crazy because a narcissist, someone like me, we carry ourselves as if we are royalty, as if we got our shizness together, as if we're confident, as if we know what we're doing, because actually we're scared little chickens. And so that's not really the problem or the bad thing about narcissism. The thing about living with a narcissist, and you may be one or you may be living with one. See, you can't waste time trying to reason with a narcissist, because it's like talking to a brick wall. Because a narcissist always will win a verbal confrontation. That's the reason why I haven't lost very many debates. I had to get out of debates because the thing that made me realize that every time I started overcoming these borderline personality disorders, like narcissism, debating was the thing that reactivated my personality disorder because it fed my ego. So a narcissist can't be played with. You cannot use, talking about in my class tonight, a coping mechanism. Narcissists can't be coped with. It must be dealt with. It must be removed. It must be killed. Or you must remove yourself from that environment or you will die. Not physically, but spiritually. They will suck. I will suck the life out of you. And I found myself, I had to readdress myself after the stuff that just went down with me and my wife. And I had to ask myself, am I really slipping back into what I call spiritual narcissism? Which is a little different from psychological narcissism and a narcissist. So I'm a spiritual narcissist, which is a whole other level of narcissism. See, although narcissism, again, is this broad psychological subject that has to do with the over-exaggeration of self-importance, it is this perceived superiority that must be given to you from outside of you because you don't have it inside of you. That's what I always talk about. What I used to do, when I used to jog down the middle of the street, no shirt on, broad daylight, 100 degrees outside. So why? I need it. A narcissist must get outside validation. They must get it. And they will do anything, and they're including running you over. Now, brothers and sisters, this is really important that you understand because you may be a narcissist or you may know someone that's a narcissist. The first thing about a narcissist is that you're going to do like me is you're going to water down your problem or your issue. And then you're going to proceed to gaslight everybody around you and you're going to create traumatic bonds and you will have no material or no equality in your relationships. They'll all be one-sided. See, when we talk about this perceived superiority, because it doesn't exist, it's the result of a abnormal, self-centered, entitlement spirit that is extremely self-centered because of the lack of self. So this egocentric attitude is rooted in the unresolved inferiority complex. And so a narcissist really is somebody who has self-esteem issues. They have no self-worth. They have no self-value. They see no value in themselves. So how can they see value in you when they don't see no value in themselves? Now remember, You can only see in other people that you see in yourself. I can only do to you what I can do to myself. So I can only love my neighbor as I love myself. So if I don't love myself, how the hell am I going to love my neighbor? I can't. That's the problem. So narcissism is born when you are placed in vulnerable situations that causes a gap between the true self and the ego self. In other words, when there are situations that threaten your ability to identify your true self and to be accepted as your true self. For example, you come up with an ideal and an authority says, "Oh, shut up, stupid. That's the stupidest. You're not validated." So after repeated invalidation, you start to feel invalid. And so there is a gap between the true ideal self, the true self, and the ego. So the true self gets abandoned, and the ego steps up in places, and that's called a narcissist. And narcissism is a fake. It's a mask. It's an image that had to be created because the true self was rejected. And so you have to do the work that I am doing right now with myself and with people that's in part of the Clarinomics Temple Building Group. That is, I have to find the true self and validate it. But the validation cannot come from outside of you. You have to see the valid. You have to see that you're valid. And the best way to do that is what I did and what I am doing is I go to the Word. And so if God says I'm justified, if God said I'm sanctified, if God said that he's removed my sins from me as far as the east is from the west, it doesn't matter what someone outside of me. But that's also the thing that feeds narcissism. Because narcissists, they don't give a beep about what nobody thinks. That's the problem. So the problem is understanding the difference between feeding the true self and feeding the false self. See, narcissism pops up every time you're in a threatening situation that leads to anxiety. This anxiety then will lead you to use one of the defense coping mechanisms to defend the ego because the false self is being threatened. So a narcissist is going to go to gaslighting you. A narcissist is going to go to, again, ignoring you. A narcissist is going to go to bonding with you through abuse instead of through mutual respect. And so when we talk about a narcissist and how they operate, remember, they have no self-worth, so they have to lower yours. That's why I spend all day encouraging people, because I know my old man wants to belittle people. See, it all begins with lowering your self-esteem, because I don't have one. You can always notice a narcissist because no matter what you say or do, it's never good enough. It's masked as a perfectionist, but it's really not perfectionism. See, a narcissist, what he or she does, they must bring you down to their level. It's like a midget. You're so tall, so the midget has to bring you down to his level. So that's what narcissism does. But the way that it does it, now, I can only speak for myself and what I did. So, 25 years, brothers and sisters, is my first marriage. 25 years. Now, how many times I left and came back? Left and came back. Left and came back. Now, I was married for 30 years, but I moved, left actually 25 times in a 30-year relationship. That's what narcissism do. Now I'm doing the same pattern in this marriage, in this relationship. Unless I do what I'm telling you to do. Now I was rolling pretty good. But see, this is how narcissism works. You got to be very, very smart because the devil is not stupid. See, you start to belittle. These belittling comments, they grow to contempt, meaning that you have this underlying feeling, and then you start separating yourself because the attention and the light is not on you. So you start ignoring other people. And then you start going outside of yourself and you start attaching yourself to people that give you the attention. That's why I remember I told you guys before when I figured out the reason I didn't have no money, because I traded my wealth for Facebook likes, because a narcissist needs to be validated from outside of himself because he don't have no validation inside of himself. And then you sabotage yourself. And sometimes it turns into physical abuse, which thankfully I've never gotten to that level. Because once you get to that level, my brothers and sisters, now it's very difficult to make that adjustment without some serious therapeutic intervention or spiritual intervention. So how does all of this work? Well, it started off the way you became a narcissist, because somewhere in your childhood, somebody did not validate you. And then this abuse led to you a separation between the ego self and the real self. And the ego stepped up and said, hey, they don't validate you, I'll validate you. So the ego, you created this whole new alter ego that's the whole purpose in life is to go out and get validation. And you only draw and you only hang around with people because, remember, you have no self-worth. You have no self-esteem. That's why you can always tell a narcissist, because they usually always have financial problems. Because your self-worth determines your net worth. And since you have no self-worth, you have no net worth. That's the number. Most people that's in poverty, the reason that they're in poverty is because they're narcissists. And now remember, a narcissist is arrogant. We act superior. We're very irresponsible, very unreliable. Live in this fantasy world that's made up of porn and flirting and affairs and dreams of Lamborghinis and big houses. That was my world, brothers. You have no clue. I wish I had the time to take you into the mind of a narcissist. You wouldn't believe what's going on. Well, you wouldn't believe it. If I told you the way I used to live, you wouldn't even believe it. If I told you the stuff that I did, brothers and sisters, you would not believe it. See, narcissism is the addiction to the fantasy-oriented behavior. It's not real. A narcissist is a sluggard. The Bible says that the sluggard dreams and has nothing. That's a narcissism. The biblical word for sluggard is the psychological narcissist. So before you become a narcissist, you must be slack, you must be slowful, then you become a narcissistic sluggard. That means you live in this fantasy-orating world. That means you're going to lie, you're going to distort the facts, you're going to change events to suit your agenda and your behavior. You're very emotionally distant, you're unavailable, you're not interested in doing shiznits unless it benefits you. You have a lack of sympathy, a lack of empathy. You are willing to exploit your own mother as long as it brings you attention. You're very controlling, and everything must be perfect because you're looking for an excuse. You're always angry all the time. You're unable to relax. You always provoke people, and then you blame them. That's called gaslighting. See, gaslighting. Let's break this one down. Gaslighting is the ability to look somebody. Gaslighting is denial. Let me tell you how gaslighting works. So you cheat on your wife. This is what I did. Your wife asks you point blank, did you do this? You look them right in the eye. You don't blink, and you say, no, I did not. And so the person says, well, I feel. And then you look them in the eye and say, well, your feeling says, oh. Then the person says, well, I got this sixth sense. Women, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know something's off, but your man said, well, he told me he didn't do anything, and you believed him? You just got gaslit. But see, let me make sure you understand what gaslighting does to your spirit. Because gaslighting is the most hideous form of mental abuse, because it calls you to question your spirit. And your sixth sense, once you've been lit by some fool like me, You will never, ever, ever trust your own intuition. So when God tells you something, you don't trust God. The worst mistake you can make is not going with your gut. I don't care what nobody says. See, gaslighting causes spiritual confusion. Now, I'm talking about spiritual narcissism. Now, this watered-down psychological stuff, that's what I used to do. Yeah, that's what most people do is Boy Scout business for what I used to do. I remember back in my narcissistic days where I was talking to about 10 females at the same time. I was a police officer during the day. You guys know the story. A police officer at night, I should say. Then I had a job as a security supervisor at a private parochial school. And I had my own photography studio, Vision Impact Photography. So I had 3 jobs. I was married. Had 10 different females. Had a brand new Cadillac, brand new Mercedes-Benz, car, boat. Money, women. The only thing I didn't have was drugs. Thank God I never got into that. Because we might not be having this conversation. How the hell did I manage all that? I used to get by on 2-3 hours of sleep. See, gaslighting is a form of manipulation, usually subconscious. You have no clue. Most narcissists don't know they're narcissists. Most psychopaths don't know they're psychopaths, and most sociopaths don't know they're sociopaths because they don't listen to programs like this. As soon as I start talking, the first check that comes up in their spirit, they out. Now, let me make sure you understand my brothers, because when you've been a victim of a sociopath, a psychopath, or somebody that's narcissistic like myself, it demonizes you. It demoralizes you. Now, you start to question you. Gaslighting means that you bring into question the very core of your essence. It's a psychological abuse that creates so much internal conflict and confusion that no coping mechanism on earth will assist you. You will be walking around in a permanent state of anxiety because you no longer trust yourself. You don't trust your memory. You don't trust your perception. You don't trust your judgment. I mean, you will question your own birth. If you hang around with a narcissist long enough, they will actually question that. Is your mother and your father really your mother and your father? You could have the freaking birth certificate. You got people that was there at the time you was birthed, and you will question. Gaslighting causes you to question reality. I'm not talking about like make-believe. I'm talking about real life reality. You will question, you will go outside and look at the sky and you will see that it's blue and you will question it. Because if you hang out with a narcissist makes you believe their lie over your truth. That's how narcissism works. Narcissism works because it is spiritual. It's a spiritual shell game. And it causes you to really almost go on the brink of insanity. And if you're not careful, gaslighting is actually a technique that was taught to me in law enforcement. Gaslighting is a law enforcement interrogation technique. That's why I learned that. Now, I was already doing it, but I perfected it when I became a cop. Do you know, I don't know no cops that are not narcissists, sociopathic, or psychopathic. None. Zero. Zip. Zada. Not one. Now, I'm not talking about something I read of a book. I used to be a cop. To be a cop, a good one, you have to be a narcissist. Now, let me make sure you understand. Because, see, you're going to get lied to all day, every day when you're a cop. So the thing that makes you a good gaslighter is the ability to use persistent denial, misdirection, contradiction, and lying to destabilize the target so that way the target starts to question whether or not they should continue in their own dream world and join you in yours. That's how you get people to confess to their crimes. You flip the script. You gaslight them. Now, it's a whole lot deeper than this, but I'm not trying to teach narcissistic behavior. I'm trying to give you some tidbits to expose it. What if you are a social, psychological path? That means that you're not on your life path. Now, a narcissistic path is just another one of the different paths that you can be on. So the thing that helped me was when I'm on my life path, I find myself venturing off onto this psychopathic behavior. And what I do is I create drama and trauma. And so my first marriage was a traumatic bonding. And we were both on the drama. That is called trauma bonding or a trauma bond. So most people that are in a relationship, they think they love each other, but they love trauma. They are bonded together by trauma. And most people, again, that always go back to their ex-wife or the ex this, that, another, the reason that they go back is for the trauma. They're not going back. There's a bond that was produced during the traumatic events. See, narcissists approach social interactions from a very intellectual place. See, they don't really care. We don't really care about how you feel unless it directly affects us. So we got this the ability to departmentalize our feelings so that no type of emotion or behavior can insult us or affect us. Now, that's a good trait, and it's a bad one. Because if can't nothing get in, can't nothing get out. And so if nothing affects you, then that means you don't have the capacity or the ability to love. That means you have difficulty empathizing with other people. And so therefore you always minimize your abuse. And it's like, it's not that bad. That's the only way, again, a narcissist can exist. The only way, I mean, do you really honestly think that if I didn't have narcissistic tendencies that I would have done what I just did to my wife? That's not an option. See, people that understands that it's very dangerous to be in ministry. Because in ministry, from a spiritual perspective, now remember, I'm talking about spiritual narcissism, which is the same as regular narcissism, except spiritual narcissism is blended with spirituality. Because narcissism really is diametrically opposed to the gospel. It's like the quite opposite of it, in fact. But spiritual narcissism integrates the gospel. So a spiritual narcissism, see, the way that it works is spirituality now takes on a political or a business flavor to it that validates the narcissist. In fact, the church is full of them. Most leaders in most churches are narcissists, psychopaths or so-called social paths. They're not on the God path. They are focused, again, on getting validation from their audience or the pews or the peasants or whatever word you want to call them. So ministry is a great place to hang out if you're a narcissist. If audience Because spiritual narcissism, again, they're always constantly promoting and reinforcing their own spirituality and their own definitions of maturity. That's why I always try to use Greek and Hebrew, because I don't want to use my own. I don't want to create my own. That's why I've never started a church. I don't want to create my own, because I know for me, that's going to feed my narcissistic tendencies. I've had people ask me all the time, hey, Brother Will, why don't you start a church? Why don't you have your own blank? I said I was going to start my own school for years, and the only reason I haven't done it is because I got to make sure that the narcissist aspects and characteristics of my behavior is dead. I got to cut it out. I got to amputate it. This cannot be healed. It can't be fixed. It got to be cut off. See, my brothers and sisters, narcissism is one of the most dangerous things on the planet. Because as a narcissist, if you're in ministry, you're going to create a culture, an atmosphere that reproduces your narcissistic behaviors with inside of the body. Because remember, when you lay hands on somebody, you're transferring your spirit to them. Jesus said that you can know a tree by its fruits. In Matthew, was it Matthew 7? See, one thing that you will always find prevalent is if someone is a narcissist, they always have an elitist spirit. They don't have a humble spirit. They are more in a sense of competition. It's us against the other churches. A narcissist, again, enough is never enough. And it's never right. They're always pushing for perfection. That's why I publish my books with errors. That's why I do blog talk shows. That's why I purposely do stuff without a lot of perfection or planning. That's why I don't have no notes. People, everything that people tell me to do, I don't do because they don't know, but I know it activates my narcissism. So when you tell me, Brother Will, we need more structure in this, you don't know what you're asking me, brother. You don't know what you're asking me. So I purposely make sure that I don't create a spiritually superior product because that activates the narcissism in me that says, look at me, look at me. I'm Master Teacher 33. Now, I started all of this while a full-blown narcissist and sociopath. That's why you see some of that sprinkled throughout a lot of my stuff. And then, thankfully, by the grace of God, I ask God, Lord, why is this? Why am I hurting people? And I want to help people. And God says, you're not on your life path. You haven't found your niche. And that's why this is the most important thing. This is the only thing that I do. And that is why the last piece of the hurdle for me is that a narcissist will never put other people's dreams before their own. Never. And so that's what I'm doing, is making sure that I put my wife's dreams before mine. Kill a narcissist. Because a narcissist are afraid to death that there is a system or there is a covert attempt to erode their own reality. A narcissist is totally paranoid that they will not be seen and that they will not be validated for themselves, that their experience is not real. A narcissist will do anything to make sure that they are not ignored in a conversation. If you ignore a narcissist, they will go cuckoo. A narcissist cannot live in an environment where their feelings are minimized. A narcissist is unable to make any kind of changes that are not theirs. Give a narcissist an ideal for a product, service, or information, and watch what they do with it. It'll never see the light of day because your ideal might actually be better than theirs. A narcissist would never do what I did, which was, you know, join a church. Especially a church that has, you know, two or three members. People ask me all the time, Brother Will, you know, you preach against stuff. So why do you go to church with your wife? Because I'm a narcissist and I got to kill that demon. So I purposely sit in the back and don't say nothing. I don't want to be in leadership. I don't want to be out front because I don't want to make the mistake of trying to feed that demon. You say, well, Brother Will, that's, you know, that's great, but you got to be yourself. Absolutely. See, there's nothing wrong with these qualities and these characteristics. The only thing that makes a person a narcissist is they have empathy and sympathy. They don't have the ability. The only thing that saved me is the grace of God, because God made me a six. That's the only thing. That's the only reason that I'm not dead or in prison. That's the only thing. That's the only reason that my marriage is still hanging on by a thread. Because, see, in my first marriage, 25 years, this is what we did. We did traumatic bonding. So we wasn't together because we loved each other. We was together because there was a cycle of abuse in which there was reward, punishment, reward, punishment, reward, punishment. That's a bond. That bond was established. It was no physical abuse. It was all psychological. It was a strong emotional connection that would develop between the victim and the person who created the abuse, the abuser and the person that was abused. Now, we see it all the time in kids. Kids will form an attachment, crazy things, to slice bread with the person that abuses them. That's what I did. Now, let me make sure you understand this, brothers and sisters, because this trauma bond, are you in one? So you're in a relationship and you think it's based on love? See, that's what I was doing. And I was falling back to my old behavior. And I thank God that my current wife wasn't as docile as my old wife or my first wife. Why do you think you can't leave a particular relationship? Or why do you think you can't move on past your ex? Or even this happens even with jobs. Why do you think you feel hopeless? Why do you want to return to a relationship that was unfulfilling? Why do you dwell on a toxic relationship in the past? Why do you struggle to stay away from a toxic relationship or to move on and get in a healthy relationship? So why do I struggle in a healthy relationship? See, a trauma bond is the abuser abused, both getting a payoff out of the relationship. See, a trauma bond is an intense attachment between the abuser and the abused. It is this emotional, sometimes physical, dependency upon a dominant person, the person who comes in and takes charge. And then there's the person who comes in and release that charge. So you got somebody who don't want to take charge of their life. You got somebody who do. And you got somebody who say, here you go, I'm going to take my brain out of my head. I'm going to give it to you. And then you got somebody who says, I want your brain because you don't know what to do with it. And the relationship is established. So the abuser and the abused both are getting the payoff. So for the person who, the abuser, it's all about power and control. For the abused, it's all about giving up power and control. So let me make sure you understand, but because this is a setup from the pit. Two people should be in a relationship that are whole. There is no one person who's a God figure and another person who's a peasant. That's not a relationship. You should have two people who want to be together, not two people who need to be together. So a trauma bond And trauma bonding is this intense attachment between a power-hungry person who really deep down inside has no power and a selfless person, a doormat person, a person who wants to be abused, who really has power and self-worth and self-esteem, but they don't want to use it. Both parties are just as equally guilty of empowering this traumatic bonding that takes place that's based upon manipulative lies. Because you know what's right and you know what's wrong, but you don't want to take responsibility for your own life. You want somebody else to do it. And you take your brain out your head and say, here you go, Rev. Dr. Bishop, think for me, please. And the Rev. Dr. Bishop said, oh, hey, I'm all-knowing, I'm all-powerful, I will think for you. Give me your brain. The biggest place to find trauma bond is in religion, a.k.a. church. Go to church. 90% of the people there want to feel dependent. And the other 2 or 3% want control and power. So you got a group of people who want to control people, and they want power over people. Those are the leadership. And then you got a group of people who want to give up their power, who want to give up a certain amount of control. Those are the members. Send me to any church in America. I will show you. I don't even have to just take off the collars. Just put all the people in the group. I can point out the leadership, and I can point out the congregation. Trauma bond. It is not a spiritual bond. It is not of God. Not the God I serve, anyway. Because the God I serve told me, don't do that, boy. I said, but God, I'm going to start a church. No, you're not. But you don't understand, Father. I want to control people. I want power. That's why you ain't getting none. God is not interested in your gifts, brother. God is not interested in your power. God is interested in your weakness, because it's in your weakness he's made strong. So God will never, ever use your worldly gifts. So you think that your worldly talent, what you went to school for, what you majored in, that's your niche? Functional illiterate, brother. Can't freaking read and write. And God is using me to write 50 books. Why? It doesn't feed my freaking ego. You know how it feels to barely be able to read your own book? Half the words in my books I can't even pronounce. I freaking look it up on dictionary.com. In my weakness, he's made strong. The only way to kill the narcissistic spirit and gaslighting and trauma bonding is stay weak. But we don't want to be weak. Well, let me speak for myself. I don't want to be weak. I want to do shows like physical fitness. Why? I can take my shirt off, show off my little $2 muscles, talk about fitness, get all the women flirting. Feed my ego. Head so freaking big, can't even walk through the damn door. But I'm not helping nobody but myself. Why? Because deep down inside, there's a little six-year-old kid that was ignored by his mother, that didn't have a father, and his grandmother told him every day, your ass ain't going to be shit. You're going to be worse than shit like your daddy. 10 years and then see what happens to you. Is that an excuse? Does that give me a right to go around and misuse and abuse other people? No. That's no excuse. There is no excuse. None. Zero. Zip. Zara. So for everybody who's taking their brain out their head and giving it to somebody, keep your brain in your head and make choices and decisions for yourself and own them, whether they are good or bad. Don't allow nobody to abuse you. Don't let nobody belittle you. Don't let no one ignore you. Don't let anybody cheat on you. Don't let nobody sabotage your plans. Don't ever let nobody put their hands on you. Ever. Never. No excuse. I don't care how much they cry afterwards. Your stuff should be packed and you should be gone. Because, see, at the core of narcissism is a combination of no self-esteem and high expectation. See, I ain't going to do it, but I'm going to expect you to do it. I ain't perfect, but you better be. See, a narcissist They ain't got no skills, but they want you to have skills. And they're going to ride off your talent. They're going to suck the life out of you, and then they're going to drop you like a hot potato. Narcissistic abuse is the most hideous. And I'm not ashamed, or I am ashamed, of the fact that I used to be named among them. And I was doing this crap to my wife. So I would spend the rest of my life fulfilling her dreams and her goals. Every opportunity and every dime I get, I'm going to build her dreams. And God will take care of mine. See, a narcissist cannot focus on other people. They have to focus on themselves because they feel like they're entitled because nobody focused on them when they was little. So now when they became an adult, they say, I'd be damned if I be. That's what I said to myself. Subconsciously, I'd be like, I mean, I purposely go to the gym, outlift everybody, slaying the weights around. Why? Everybody in the gym got to look at me when I show up. That's what narcissists do. We got to be their center of attention. And then if we ain't, we're going to take our ball and we're going to go home. We're going to run. So if I was in the center of my wife's world, what could I do? I just did it. Pack my shizness and left. And God say, take your butt back home, boy. I need to make sure you guys understand, because I don't teach theory. I only teach theorem. This was my life. And mercy. Grace and mercy. And I told myself I wasn't going to cry today. I'm not going to get emotional. But I'm ashamed to sit here and call myself a man. Now, I don't need no emails or nobody got to text me. I know I'm a man. I know what God has done. But I also know what I did to an innocent woman, my first wife, that I left her as a shell. And if I'm not careful, I have the potential to do the same thing to my current wife. So when you see me doing stuff that's not quite as publishing books that could be better, doing shows and saying words, I curse on purpose because that's a part of the thing that feeds the narcissistic in part of me because I wanted to be a perfect Christian. See, I don't understand when I did Christianity, like you go ask anybody that knew me, I was what they called a super saint. I didn't miss a Sunday. I was there every service. I was the best tithe. I was the best dressed. I shouted the best. I did everything the best. That's a narcissist. A narcissist don't show up if they don't win. We don't get involved with shizness unless we win. That's narcissism. That's why I purposely don't do things that put me in that environment that feeds the narcissistic aspect of my nature. Because that old man comes back. I'm a master manipulator. I can look you in the eye and I lie by omission. That's narcissism. A narcissist can pass any polygraph test. I learned from the best. I worked in a supermax prison. And I was taught by the best of the best of the best. A narcissist doesn't lie. They omit parts of the story. That's not lying. Did I go to the store? Yes, I went to the store. But I didn't tell you where else I went before I got there and after I left the store. And if you don't ask, I'm not telling. That's a narcissist. A narcissist lies by omission. They never lie by fact. A narcissist can look you in the eye and deny, and they will actually make you think you crazy. You can go outside and you can see the sun, and a narcissist can tell you in such terminology that you will doubt that the sun is in the sky. You actually start to doubt your own reality. That's how dangerous narcissism is. Psychopaths are dangerous, yes. Sociopaths are dangerous. But a narcissist? As a retired narcissist, I take narcissism any day. Because you see, my brothers and sisters, let me make sure you understand. Narcissism, all of the things that a person can do to another human being on earth. When a narcissist can no longer control you, that's what this is all about. They're going to control how others see you. A narcissist is a predator. A narcissist prey on people. A narcissist, they will do dirt and hide their hands. A narcissist can set fires wherever they go. Narcissists are masters of the art of burning. That's what's called gaslighting. See, a narcissist, they don't care if they can't control you. A narcissist know how to control the environment that is around you. So I don't care if I'm not worried about controlling you. I control your mother, your brother, your sister, and everybody in your family. And they control you. That's how narcissists work. That's how good ones work. That's how I used to work. How in the world can you juggle 10 females at the same time, have a full-time job, be a full-time police officer, and run a successful business all at the same time? How you do it? You get everybody else to do the work for you. You just show up and manipulate. Narcissism is dangerous stuff, brothers and sisters. And you cannot be at least, I don't want you to be wealthy, healthy, wise, and in a traumatic bond. Because it's not a relationship. You're going to have a traumatic bond. You're going to have a trauma bond, not a relationship. There won't be no mutual respect. There's going to be a controller and a controlee. I was a controller. My poor first wife was a controlee. She voluntarily gave up her brain. And I gladly took it. Narcissist. So, brothers and sisters, the whole purpose of the Clarinomics temple building is we got to destroy the psychopath in you first. We got to destroy the sociopath in you. We got to destroy the narcissism, the narcissistic individual inside of you. We got to destroy that bipolar. We got to destroy the rest of development. We got to destroy whatever mental illness or whatever mental disposition that is not allowing you to move in the direction of your goal. Because this trauma bond, again, triggers biological changes as well as emotional ones. Let me say that again. Trauma bonding, gaslighting, narcissistic abuse triggers biological changes because of the chemicals that is to be released during this intermittent abuse and power imbalances that go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Love you today, hate you tomorrow. Love you today, hate you tomorrow. Love you today, hate you tomorrow. Tear you down, beat you up. Tear you down, beat you up. Punch in the face, buy you flowers. Punch in the face, buy you flowers. Emotional abuse is worse than physical abuse. Because that emotional trauma goes down deep into your cells. And because I've been on both sides of the fence, remember, God always takes you through the experience of something before he gives you the knowledge of something. I was a psychopath. I was a sociopath. Along with a lot of other mental illnesses and mental diseases. And I used to always wonder, because my mom suffered from mental illnesses. And I remember asking myself, how the hell does a grown woman let another woman beat her and then watch as this person beats her kids. I used to wonder, like, man, how does that work? I mean, I was so angry at my mom. And then I grew up into the same shiznits. Now, I didn't physically beat or allow somebody, but mine was mental. So I suffered from major depression, anxiety disorder, bipolar disorder, freaking attention deficit disorder, hyperactivity disorder, schizophrenia, obsessive compulsive, aversive development, post-traumatic stress disorder. Man, you name it. Every time I go to the doctor, them suckers want to put me in a mental institution. Like, dude, how do you function? There's no way that you can function. You can't even, there's no way you can just go into a grocery store and buy something and come out. How do I function, brothers and sisters? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, nothing that was made by the Word. So words were spoken over me. I've done the entire series. You are an incarnation of God that has been manipulated by an incantation of man. Incarcerate the spirit of the light. So as an incarnation that has been manipulated by an incantation that has resulted in my incarceration, I'm going to reverse engineer it. So now I'm going to be the one that is making, that is provoking, that is declaring, that is decreeing. And so now I'm writing the script based upon the Word of God to reverse engineer the mental disorders. Now are turning into spiritual order. So you take your mental disorder and you turn it around and use it to establish spiritual order. Oh, yeah, the devil thought he had me, man. But see, I read something in the scriptures that said, all things work together for my good. That everything that the devil meant for evil, God's going to turn around and use it for my good. So I'm a walking, talking, breathing, living testimony. And I'm not dead yet. So I got more demons to destroy. And more personality disorders to convert into spiritual order. Let me make sure you understand, brothers and sisters, that what we are doing in this Cloud Nama Temple building, not for the weak of heart. Because all these borderline personality disorders, we're turning them into highline spiritual orders. And we're doing it with the power that is above all power. Because there's a name that is above all name. That's at the name of Yahushua the HaMashiach. Every demon that on earth, every demon under the earth, and every demon above the earth will bow down. And brothers and sisters, when you put on this mind, that it says, let this mind be in you, that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not count it robbery to be equal with God. And he made himself of no recompense. So when you put on the mind of Christ, you start doing the will and the nature. So it is my prayer and it is my goal to make sure that everyone listening to the sound of my voice, don't put on my mind, don't follow in my steps, but you put on the mind of Christ. Because no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and all who rise up against you shall fall. Brothers and sisters, we see you tonight at 7 p.m. as we continue with part two of the seven-part series, where we're breaking down one of the most important things, and that is coping mechanisms. Even though they're not great, they're definitely useful, especially when you're getting through or dealing with either a traumatic bond, gaslighting, or narcissistic abuse. My brothers and sisters, I am Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the Son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Really are still dreaming. Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn want something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.